a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They are going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Tujunk, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Awesome. Hey, we have Ruth Buffalo coming on in a few minutes, and then also our friend Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute later in the show. But first off, I want to give a quick shout out and take a listen to the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. Take it away.
Hey there, Native Maybe Roots not. Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update.
On March 23rd, we celebrated 14 years of the Affordable Care Act. Quality, affordable health care coverage shouldn't be for just the healthy and wealthy. And thanks to the Affordable Care Act, millions of Wisconsin families have been able to access health insurance without lifetime limits and regardless of pre-existing conditions. In the last open enrollment period alone, a record of more than 260,000 Wisconsinites were able to access quality, affordable health care coverage. And Wisconsin has one of the most competitive health insurance marketplaces in the country, ranking second nationwide in the number of participating insurers. Folks, the ACA continues to be transformational for folks and families across the state, but we can't take it for granted. Since day one, I have long been committed to defending the ACA and ensuring every Wisconsinite has access to quality, affordable health care. In 2019, I delivered on my promise to withdraw the state of Wisconsin from a Republican-led lawsuit that would have gutted the ACA, kicked thousands of Wisconsinites off their health care, and put 2.4 million Wisconsinites who have pre-existing conditions at risk. And I will continue to do everything I can to defend the ACA, including its protections for people with pre-existing conditions, as we continue to work building on our efforts to expand access to affordable health care in Wisconsin. Although the 2024 open enrollment period has ended, Wisconsinites may still be able to get enrolled in a plan on the marketplace if they had a qualifying life event like losing their job or getting married. So celebrate the 14th anniversary of the ACA by making sure you're covered and learn more about your coverage options by visiting wiscovered.com. Thank you.
Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, wow, big pindigigi to the governor, Tony Evers, for his weekly update. Hey, we have Ruth Buffalo, and I believe Ruth's on the phone, and she's on the road right now. I hope it isn't too slippery. Welcome, Ruth.
Hi, Dosha. Thank you. Mazagada. It's good to be here again. Thank you.
Oh, you sound great. Hey, the Ruth Buffalo is the CEO of Minnesota Women's Resource Center here in Minnesota, and our friend that we've been talking to over the years. It's great to have you on. And do you have some updates for us?
Yeah. Yes, thank you. We are gearing up for the spring market that will be held at MIWRC's community room and also the Nokomis area, the Nokomis rooms where the meet and greet was held. So we're using all of the spaces down there on the first floor. And the spring market is from, I believe, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we just decided today to open it back up to invite more vendors to sign up. We're looking forward to inviting community in and to let everybody know, you know, that our doors are open and we just want to continue helping to build community and stay true to our values. of MIWRC.
Well, that's exciting, and I'm really happy that you're the CEO of this this group that's been around for a long time and been in the community for a long time helping, and we're looking forward. That's great news. What else you got going on? I know you have like a little fundraiser going on too with that I've noticed that's online. Could you speak on that?
Yeah, yes. There was a GoFundMe account, fundraiser created about 2 weeks ago. It hasn't gained much traction, but I believe it's on our social media page, the Facebook page for MIWRC. I think it's got maybe about 300 or so likes and maybe 900 followers. We're trying to raise more money to continue supporting our staff and just continuing to rebuild and build. Like you mentioned, I have so much respect for the founders of MIWRC, and it's so important to keep our doors open to the community. The staff are amazing. We have been engaging in the community forums that have been held across the metro. This past week, there was one held in Richfield. And then last night in Brooklyn Park, I believe, and then next week at DIW. But these are community forums focused on the Birth Justice, in partnership with the Birth Justice Collaborative, and also BECC, which is Birth Equity Community Coalition from Ramsey County. So Hennepin County, Ramsey County, joining forces to continue supporting our Black and Brown relatives as we face a lot of challenges with maternal and child health death rates, and really trying to bring in that traditional healing birthing component. So I've definitely been immersed. This is, I believe, week four for me, and I've been immersed in all of the beautiful programming that our staff leads. I also was voluntold in these community forums to provide some a few words on Advocacy 101 on the first two community forums. So it's been a lot of fun, and it's amazing to be back into some really good heart work.
Can you talk a little bit too about what Minnesota Women's Resource Center does and has done in the community over the years? Because it's just amazing what this organization does for our community.
Yes, we have, over the years there has been some challenges, and so we are hoping and working towards rebuilding to get a lot of the programming back up and running with sustainable funding, not just for today, but for seven generations ahead, to ensure that the doors of MIWRC are open. There's a huge housing project for the top two floors. I believe most residents have been relocated to apartments or houses, so they are now in their own living spaces and independence, and so that's pretty exciting to hear. The top two floors, floor three and four, they are, I believe we have at least, I think currently there's 13 units, but with the renovation project that is scheduled to happen in September, there will be 24 units upstairs. And so lots of moving pieces. The bottom floor, we also have our drop-in center for our unhoused relatives, where they are able to come in, get some food, get a shower, wash clothes, and get a lot of support services and get connected to existing resources out in the community. We have the traditional birthing program. It is, I don't want to mispronounce it, but it is in the Ojibwe language, and it's so beautiful. It's called mm-hmm. Where Your Roots Are. There's more. There's a lot more, but maybe I can shed more light on those after the break, I think. Is it time to break? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is time to break. Okay. Ruth, why don't we get a call to action? Where can people get this information? And then we'll let you go. Where,
sure.
Facebook, yeah.
Yep, so it's a little confusing right now because there's two different Facebook accounts. We don't have access to the Facebook account that has about 7,000 followers. And so that's kind of why I mentioned the active Facebook page that we have is about maybe 300 likes and maybe 900 followers. So please follow that page. It's the page with the lower amount of followers. That's where we're trying to keep up-to-date information, but we've also recently made some updates to the website as recent as yesterday. We have, so please check out the careers tab at miwrc.org. We are hiring right now for a foster care licensure specialist. We are also hiring for a grant manager / development person. And so we have a lot of moving parts, a lot of things moving. And we also have, you know, our Cultural Learning Center program that does a lot of cultural teachings. Our doors are always open for community events, you know, wakes and funerals, feeds and ceremonies. Also want to mention, let's see, we have a program called She Heals. I don't want to mispronounce it in the Ojibwe language, but it's a sexual assault domestic violence program as well, where there's a lot of outreach done to our incarcerated relatives in the jails. So yeah, we have a lot of things, great things happening, but we're looking to continue partnering with the community and continuing to build for our future generations.
Thank you so much for being on and giving everyone an update. We'll see you soon. Thanks for coming on.
Yep, thank you. Mazagadads.
Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okizi, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, now until April 13th, off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have Wendy Pilot stopping in. It was a great report there by Ruth Buffalo, and we're looking forward to having her on a lot longer next time. So we really appreciate her checking in. A lot happening at the Minnesota Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis, the Minnesota Women's Resource Center. Hey, Wen, thanks for coming on. I see you're in your famous studio here at the condo.
Yes, I'm in the WC closet office / studio here. But you know what? I was just looking up something pretty interesting. You know, there's going to be a total eclipse of the sun on April 8th. And I wish we weren't going to be back in Minneapolis by then, because north of where we are now, we would be in the totality.
Zone. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was really curious about if this total eclipse affects animals. And oh. It does.
Mm.
Yeah. So humans are the only ones who get spooked during the total eclipse. Animals may change their behaviors too, research shows. And here's what to expect on April 8th, 2024. So like animals may howl at different times, right? Taking their siestas at different times. And humans aren't the only creatures in North America who would be affected by the total eclipse, the solar eclipse. And this is a really big eclipse. So for 4 minutes and 28 seconds on Monday, April 8th, the moon will completely block out the sun along 115-mile wide, 10,000-mile long band from Mexico, the United States, and Canada. So this is a really big event. And it's after this time on April 8th, it's not going to happen again for another 400 years. But it says here that animals like humans could theoretically be blinded by looking directly at the sun during the solar eclipse. However, Fluffy and Pickles probably also have the common sense or instinct not to stare directly in the sun, meaning the risk of eye damage is probably pretty low. Live Science previously reported. So, however, those who are extra cautious, like me, right? I probably won't let Wanda or Lucy out on that date, can certainly purchase a pair of eclipse glasses for their cat or dog. They actually have them.
I bet and they do.
Of a dog online that has those solar eclipse glasses. So we all really have to be careful about that. And I even heard that there are some schools that are closing early that day so that the kids can be home and not out, because they can't trust like these little elementary kids not to like stare up at the solar eclipse that could really, you know, do a lot of damage, can like fry your eyes.
Right.
So yeah, some animals that like are really affected from the light and the dark also will be affected by this. So yeah, we'll see.
I've always wondered that.
Yeah. I mean, it was just something like, I really just, they say zoo animals also, and those in captivity may also be affected.
I always see those dogs now driving in sidecars around the Twin Cities with glasses on now and goggles.
Goggles. I have a picture of someone. They had their dog in a basket in front of their bicycle with the goggles on. That wasn't for the solar eclipse. That's just for debris and things like that. But they said here, zoo animals and those in captivity may also be affected. For instance, in 1973, report found that captive ground squirrels get more antsy during a solar eclipse and move around more. Meanwhile, during the 1994 solar eclipse visible in Chile, baboons in captivity got less active, perhaps because they were confused and thought it was nighttime. So yeah, we're all going to be affected by the solar eclipse. So yeah, that's
like it's starting already for some people.
Yeah. You have to be really careful. Yep. So
yeah, that's interesting. I was seeing something about that where they were calling out the National Guard in a southern state, and I want to look that up.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. While you look that up, I just want to remind everyone too of Wolf Day at the Capitol.
Yeah.
Wolf Day at the Capitol. It's being sponsored by Howling for Wolves. It's going to take place on Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. Go on Howling for Wolves and register for this event. And when you register, you show up at the Minnesota State Capitol at 10 a.m. And there's going to be a speaker, a light lunch, and then your when you register, you will be also given an appointment with your elected officials so that you can go in and talk to them in person and talk to them about why we need to ban wolf hunting and trapping in Minnesota. So check that out. I will be there on Wednesday, April 17th. I'm always, I always look forward to this event every year. So,
yes,
yeah. I
put it on my calendar, so I'll meet you out there at 10 a.m., Wendy.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it'll be fun. Get a t-shirt. You talk to like-minded people, and you're able to talk to your representatives about why it's important to save our Minnesota wolves. They're not allowed to be hunted right now, but that does not mean that they are safe indefinitely. So we need to keep up this fight. We need to keep this in the forefront in the forefront of our legislators' minds so that they know how to vote when this particular subject comes up. So
right.
Yeah, it'd be fun. So register for that so that they can make you a appointment. Yesterday, I mentioned that Boo, B-O-O, a well-loved grizzly bear who lives at the ski resort in Golden, British Columbia, he was filmed emerging from under piles of snow as he woke up from hibernation. And you can go online and watch that video. It's really something really very, very cute to see.
It's like the bear from the Jellyfish Park, Yogi Bear.
Yeah, Yogi Bear waking up from the winter. And it's like you see him coming out from all the piles of snow. And he's kind of like looking around like, uh-oh, what's going on?
It's an eclipse.
Yeah, but yeah. He's supposedly a well-loved grizzly bear who lives in that area, and they keep an eye on him.
So. That's at a ski resort?
It's kind of cute. In a ski resort in, let me go back to that.
Would you say British Columbia?
British Columbia, yep, at a ski resort. Yep, and he kind of hangs out there and lives there, and the people know who he is, and they filmed him waking up. So,
wow.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
It is fun. Wow. I know. Do you have, in the next 2 minutes, you got any other fun facts for our relatives listening? And I love when Wendy brings up the fun facts, because it's like we've been doing that for 7 years, 7 years on Native Roots Radio, and I learned so much.
Yeah, and usually
fun.
The fun facts I saved for Fridays,
give us one.
As we do the Mother Days, I'm just trying to bring those up. Okay, let's see what we got here. let's see. A white-tailed jackrabbit are the greatest land jumpers, having been recorded leaping an astonishing 21 feet vertically.
Wow.
White-tailed jackrabbits. That's crazy.
I bet they sound like they can jump as far as lice. Hey, Wendy, thanks for jumping in and giving us some fun facts, especially with Wolf Day coming up. We can't talk about that enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Be there at the State Capitol, Minnesota State Capitol, April 17th.
Hey, we'll be right back with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO. This is Native Roots Radio.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
All My Relations Arts presents Okizi. Okizi means to heal, and the exhibition highlights the healing power of cultural revitalization for Native communities. Okizi showcases prints, mixed media, textiles, beadwork, digital collage, and glass sculptures by Native American and Sami artists. It explores Indigenous communities' active healing efforts through language revitalization, land back movements, and embracing traditional knowledge. Visit All My Relations Arts to experience Okizi through April 13th. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Life can be hard. Sometimes it feels like there's no answers, like there's no way out. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223.
Car shopping is made super easy with Rudy Luther Toyota's Luther Direct. It's car shopping without ever leaving your home. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com and click on Luther Direct. Choose any vehicle in Rudy Luther Toyota's current inventory, either new or certified pre-owned. Then find out what kind of value you can get for your trade-in, review a payment plan you qualify for, and customize it. And then set up a time for Rudy Luther to drop off your new vehicle and pick up your trade-in. It's that simple. Your new vehicle comes to you without any of the hassle. Check out Luther Direct today at RudyLutherToyota.com.
Hi, I'm Mary T, inviting you to experience our integrative Mary T Health and Wellness Center, offering physical, occupational, speech, and lymphedema therapies. Experience our guided imagery, meditation, Tibetan medicine, dry needling, massage services, including cupping and oncology massage. Sign up for our free wellness screenings and learn more at MaryTWellness.com. All major health insurance providers are accepted. Come for therapy. Experience wellness.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Overnight cloudy with a low of 18, then a chance of rain and snow Friday with a high of 42. Kathy Griffin's My Life on the PTSD List tour is coming to the Pantages Theater in Minneapolis on October 11th. Stay tuned to the AM 950 social media platforms for your chance to win or tickets available to the general public Friday the 29th.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Wendy wanted to stick around for a quick howl, so we gave it to her. Thanks, Wendy, for coming on.
Thanks, Wendy.
We'll see you. Hey, we have Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, and our friend here. And it's great to see you, Robert. And how are things in Minnesota? As you know, I'm in New York right now, and it's raining cats and dogs right now.
Oh, still lucky you. Bonjour, Haley. Bonjour, Robert. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. I'm a little jealous. It's cold here. It's like winter, you know. We had over 3 days, we had about a foot of snow here in the Twin Cities. It was about half a foot, then it was rain and it kind of melted some of the snow, and then about another half foot. So we've got some weather going on. But yeah. I've seen your Facebook posts. I love seeing the ocean. It's so beautiful. So
right.
Lucky you.
We'll be back soon. So we have to, we're going to see Jane Goodall on Monday, and then we'll be heading back Tuesday, and Wendy will be driving as I'm working.
Wow, impressive. See Jane Goodall, what does that mean? Is she a friend of yours or something, Robert?
I wish. No, we're paying tickets to see her speak in the city. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, a big idol of Wendy's, and we just appreciate all the work that she's done for our relatives over the years that she's been working with the animals and our relatives. So what's happening in the Twin Cities there? What's going on? We just had Ruth Buffalo on, and it's exciting to see her emerged in her new job, and it's already been 4 weeks. What the heck?
It's hard to believe it's been 4 weeks. I love me some Ruth Buffalo. We are so fortunate to have her here in our Twin Cities ecosystem, and the Minnesota Indian Men's Resource Center is very fortunate to have her as well. And when leadership changes in some of these big, legacy organizations like Minnesota Indian Men's Resource Center, you always kind of wonder, who are they going to find? Are they going to find someone that can fill all the big shoes of the women who came before? And man, in Ruth Buffalo, they hit the jackpot.
Yep. Yeah, and it's fun, too, because just knowing a little bit about Ruth over the years, that she lived here for a year and worked in the community, and so she knows the community, and she comes back and forth all the time, too. So it was a great, pleasant surprise to hear about that.
Agree, and I couldn't hear as a guest. I've been running around, and I've had a very busy day, but I'll have to go back and listen to the archive, but I bet she was a wonderful guest.
Yeah, and explaining everything that Minnesota Women's Resource Center does is just amazing, and a lot of it they're talking about our unsheltered relatives, and we got to have her on longer. We only had her on for one segment because she was en route, but oh my goodness, it sounds like they're revving up the machine again there, and that's exciting news for Indian country and our urban Indian community here in the Twin Cities.
Yes, it is, and I haven't seen Ruth yet engaging in some of the work that we're doing on unsheltered relatives, but I know our organization does a ton, and they were really trailblazers in opening sort of drop-in centers is how we call them. A lot of them are 24-hour or overnight, and by creating a drop-in center rather than a shelter, it's a much lower regulatory bar that an organization has to meet. And I do get to interact with some of her people regularly who are doing the work, and they just, yeah, they're really doing it. And, you know, they support our sisters mostly, but families, youth, you know, if they have housing and services, very culturally based, and Ruth is just going to take them to the next level.
Let's switch gears a little bit here and talk about Native American Community Development Institute. And we're on almost every week with you, and I want people to really know about your organization. And I've had the opportunity over the years not only to work with your organization, but be to see your organization work in the community. Give an overview of what you guys do, because it's like an onion unpeeling, and all the really, I mean, I'm always learn something new about the organization.
Right. Is it like an onion because we make you cry, Robert? Or is it like
tears of joy. Tears of joy.
So yeah, our org, Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, is the acronym, and we are an asset-based community development agent working in mostly in the urban Indian community here, but really we work region-wide, statewide, and we're in several national initiatives as well. And we promote the Native people's vision for ourselves, right, in 21st century culture. And we focus our work in three kind of areas. One is arts and culture, one is food sovereignty, and one is in civic engagement. And so we have really signature programs in each of those areas. We have our All My Relations Arts Gallery and community arts activities. In food sovereignty, we have Four Sisters, we have a farmer's market and an urban farm. And in civic engagement, our signature program is Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, which is a year-round multi-generational civic engagement effort. And so we ground ourselves in community through these projects and programs, And we really are systems change people, right? So with these authentic community relationships, we're then able to inform policy or programming or how major arts institutions can better engage and relate with Native artists. And so we're in the systems as well. And so we have this small but mighty staff of 12 people who are amazing young Native professionals who are deeply engaged in their fields, whether that's art or whether that's food production, food sovereignty, and then really keep their eyes up as well so they can see opportunities to change the system to better serve our Native relatives.
And how do people, because we're all over Turtle Island and we're on Civic Media in Wisconsin, which is over 18 stations. How would somebody get a hold of you and Mir maybe and find out more about what you guys do?
Yeah, you can visit our website. It's nacdi.org, NACDI.org. We're on Facebook as well. Our programs, like All My Relations Arts, have their own social media presence, but the nacdi.org site will show you what we do, explain what we do, and but it's multifaceted. And you know, we are an intermediary, you know, funding can pass through us, but we also bring people together, and often non-Native institutions or organizations are trying to better engage the Native community. And so we'll move into that space between community and these non-Native organizations, which is pretty risky space, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. It can be risky, especially if we're sort of separated from community. But really figure out how to be intermediaries between Native communities and cultures and the non-Native institutions that we seek to change.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then how long have you been the CEO?
You know, I have been in this current position. It'll be 7 years on May 8th, wow, which blows my mind. And then for before that, I was the founding chair of the board here in the Twin Cities at Bernacchi. And so I chaired the board for, I guess that'd be 8 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then left that position to join the staff. So I have a long association with the organization, and I just believe in the mission as well, this asset-based approach to progress in the community.
Well, and also I know we talk about this a lot, and I'm always, I think maybe I was amazed at first, but I see by hanging out with you guys at times how taking care of yourself, I know I bring this up a lot, but just to mirror that in organizations out there that might need somebody like you to come in and talk about how you can mirror what NACDI's doing when it comes to taking care of yourself first things first. Well, it looks like you're muted.
Well, that was weird. Thanks. Yeah, we talked about this a little before, you know, and it was this Indigenous perspective that I learned from an elder here, a Linda Eagle speaker, during the COVID era. But it was this idea of caring, the Indigenous approach to our work is caring for yourself first, your family second, then your community and the organization. And it took us a while to embrace this because it's not really how we're conditioned. We're sort of that, you know, assembly line kind of work, mm-hmm, work, work. And since we've embraced this, maybe the last 2.5-3 years, it has had a profound transformational effect on our work. Mm-hmm. So all of these people, and you know a lot of them, these incredibly talented young Native professionals, and come to work, they're cared for, their families are cared for. So the time they spend at NACDI or doing NACDI work, they are giving 100% mm-hmm to that. And the progress that we make in all of our areas is amazing. And I love this idea of, you know, teaching others to do it. I don't know that I could do that. It takes kind of a leap of faith to mm-hmm really embrace that Indigenous approach. But I'll tell you, others notice. Mm-hmm. And it brings NACDI to sort of other people's attention. And just lately, we're in negotiations unsolicited with all these resource holders or systems people who want us to support our work. Mm-hmm. And it just feels great. And the two things that have kind of happened lately, which have been very cool, we were approached to be a Minnesota partner in what's called the Good Relatives Collaborative. And people can go to the NACDI.org website under news and read a little about that. But it's, we'll be doing regranting in Minnesota along with the South Dakota partner, North Dakota partner. And it's just a great opportunity that we didn't seek out. Mm-hmm. They sought us out. And another big deal thing is our local big daily newspaper, the Star Tribune, it's called, has nominated our little farmers market, Four Sisters Farmers Market, as Farmers Market of the Year. Mm-hmm. So your listeners can go to the Star Tribune website, go to the Vote for the Best Of page under shopping. They'll find Farmers Markets, Four Sisters, and vote for us. You can vote every day between now and April 17th. And let's lift up this indigenized market.
Right on. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and we're going to take a quick break. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. And it's always fun to catch up and talk about the great things that are happening in Minnesota, but also specifically in the Native corridor off Hennepin Avenue, which we just love learning and hearing about. Robert, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Franklin Avenue. It's East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. I know you're an East Metro guy, Robert, so you might not quite know what our street
Oh. Well, you're muted again, Robert.
Wow, that is just happening. There's technology weirdness in the air.
Yeah, and not knowing Franklin Avenue, I beg your pardon, and I drive there almost every day, so it must be the high altitude here in New York that's
got me a little dizzy. Hennepin's a little more bougie than the American Indian Cultural Corridor in East Franklin.
Right on. But yeah, we love talking about it, and there's so much good things going on. We talked a little bit about how exciting May 1st is going to be with the Native American
building, Indian Center,
Indian Center being open.
Yeah, the grand reopening, right? So we have an Indian Center, Minneapolis American Indian Center, MAIC. It's been here since 1972, I think, is when it first opened. And it's such a hub for the Native community, not just in Minneapolis, but really throughout this whole region. When Indians find their way to Minneapolis, they find their way to the American Indian Center. And for decades, it was really a prominent service center. It's providing services, and the enlightened leadership and director, Mary Lagarde, my White Earth sister, really went through years of planning and strategic thinking, and now they've invested, about $33 million, I think, is the whole project. It's a reimagining, a reconstruction. It looks really different, like a brand new building, and it'll become not just the services that it's known to provide, but it'll really provide destinations along the American Indian Cultural Corridor, a restaurant, an art gallery, someday a theater, meeting space. It's beautiful. Have you been in it yet, Robert? Or
No. Okay. I probably was looking for it on Hennepin Avenue, and that's why I haven't.
Right. You were on the wrong street. No. So I'm on the capital campaign, raising the $33 million, and it's just been such a privilege and joy to serve there. I get to get into it every so often because we give tours and things, and it's amazing. People are going to be floored. It's the grand reopening is May 1st. That is the kickoff to American Indian Month here in Minnesota. I think we're the only state in the union that has May as Indian Month, and that was an initiative of the American Indian Movement way back when. And so we'll have a great parade. I've been privileged to be part of the planning for that. It's going to be amazing. And then we'll end up at the Indian Center for their big ceremony and grand reopening.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And that you can see from the outside, the structure is now almost more friendly, where it's again right on the sidewalk as opposed to pushed back. Right. It'll be great to see the store, the restaurant, and the theater, along with the great gym that they had to do the powwows.
Yeah, right. The gym, a real emphasis on fitness with a workout center for the community. They'll continue to do congregate dining for our elders as well. And the whole, it's very different than it was before. And you're exactly right. It's a presence now, where on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on East Franklin Avenue, whereas in the past, it's been kind of hidden almost. I mean, it's right there on this very busy street. But when you'd come up, if you hadn't been there before, you couldn't really figure out where do I go in? How do I even get in this building? It wasn't really all that welcoming. And the new reconstruction has this great entrance, and it's in this round drum shaped atrium. It's really something.
Well, you'll have to take Haley and I to do a tour before it opens. That'd be awesome, because I've just heard so many good things. And, to have Charlie have his store in there, that'll be huge.
It'll be huge, huge. And so that's Charlie Stately. He's one of our local entrepreneurs, and he's had a little store in the Indian Center forever. He opened it. It's like decades and decades ago. And I'll have a really nice retail center, and it'll be different. And, about a week before the public grand opening, there's a little VIP reception. I'll see if maybe I can sneak you and Haley into that, because I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be at the North Star. So I'll miss it. Maybe you can be my surrogates there.
Right on.
And I'm sure Mary Lagarde, the CEO, the director there, would love a little bit of media loving.
Yeah, well, we're all for that for sure. So Haley will put that on her calendar when it comes to reaching out and being aware and letting our listening audience be aware of that. Just exciting things happening.
So exciting.
you know, it is exciting, really exciting. And, you know, we talked to before with Ruth coming into town and and the revitalization of the Minnesota Women's Resource Center. And, you know, it's great. It's great news to bring up.
Yep, you're here. And I know you have Dr. Anthony Stately on and regularly. He has a big capital project and so much investment in the Native community. It's next generation investment, right? We had our elders, our founders who established these agencies and institutions, and now there's a next generation coming up who's sustaining them by generating reinvestment. And it's a cool thing happening here for sure.
It really is. I wonder, Haley, if you wouldn't mind also bringing up how people can vote for the Four Sisters Market to let our audience know, because that would be great to bring that up again, especially for our listening audience that's driving that didn't have a writing utensil.
Yeah, absolutely. Was this in the Star Tribune newspaper, Robert?
Yep. It's like the best of kind of in the Star Tribune newspaper. I will.
Yeah, well. I know that, well, the Four Sisters Farmers Market shared the link and directions on how to do it on their Facebook page. So make sure you follow the Four Sisters Farmers Market on Facebook as well as Instagram. But they have the link here. So all you do is click it and then you go to the shopping category under Farmers Market and vote for the Four Sisters Farmers Market. And you can vote once per day until April 17th. And I also just want to shout out our friend Angie Vig and Vig Guitars. I know that they're nominated too.
Oh,
yeah. So they, I believe they're under shopping and then under music stores. And you can also vote for them once a day. That's Vig Guitars and Four Sisters Farmers Market.
Love it. And I think, you can go to the link on the Four Sisters Farmers Market Facebook page. I think the website is actually votemnbest.com, voteminnesotabest.com.
Perfect.
Yeah, exciting. Well, we got about 30 seconds left, Robert. What else would you like to let our listening audience know?
Well, I would just encourage local folks especially to show up on May 1st. We have a parade that starts at Little Earth of United Tribes, ends at the Indian Center. We're having a float contest, great prizes. And one cool thing is our Metro Transit, our local transit, has this beautiful wrapped bus that says, "You are on Dakota land." We are on Dakota land. That will be in the parade as well, as well as the artist Marlena Miles, who designed it. So come on down on May 1st.
Well, again, big Pini Gigi, thank you so much, Robert. Have a great day, and we'll be talking to you real soon. Keep warm, and we'll be back to the cities real soon.
All right. See ya. Thank you.
All right. Hey, we're still here. We are the seventh generation. This has been Native Roots Radio.
And free at Leonard Peltier. Now.